other ever. It's called Crazy. Patsy Cline first heard it and hated it in 1960 on a demo recording made by a fellow who wrote the song, Billy Walker's buddy, a young Texas tunesmith named Willie Nelson. And now you know the rest of the story.
Protecting what matters on The Right Choice, AM 1230, KPRL, 99.3 FM with Barry Fisher. Advice and information on protecting what matters most in today's world. Brought to you by Adler Belmont Insurance Brokers and their new associate, Heather Bordan, serving the commercial insurance needs of businesses on the Central Coast.
Welcome back to Protecting What Matters. And we have a bit of a technical issue, I think, happening. Oh, no, it looks like it kind of cleared up. So hopefully we can get back on track here. All right. So welcome back to Protecting What Matters. This is the broadcast that helps you become better shoppers and buyers of services and products to protect various aspects of your life, health, and property. We also explore current events on our history, and that's what we're and community. And that's one of the things we're going to be focused on here today is current events with the multi-generational grape and grain society, or a good portion of them anyway. I have in studio, I have Kaylin Clark and Jay Leach. And on the guest line, I have Jake Frederick. Jake, you there?
I am.
Okay, good.
What's up, guys?
Yeah, so here's how this works. And I'm going to explain all this to you guys, the audience here in a second, because these guys have been on before. I try to get them on a couple times a year to talk about all the craziness that's in the world, but from a generational perspective. So we are going to discuss things like artificial intelligence and cryptocurrency. Also want to discuss, this disturbing amount of violence around the world these days, both in the United States and in places like Australia, anti-Semitism, the whole Groyper movement, and just get generational perspectives on how this all works. And so, guys, I really appreciate you being here. Audience, you can call in with questions or comments or text 805-238-5775, 238-KPRL. So the I'm just going to share a few personal things here. You know, as I've gotten older, and it seems like it's kind of snuck up on me, I've made it a point of trying to hang out with guys that are younger than me, because they really give me a great perspective on what's going on in the world beyond my boomer perspective. So about 2.5 years ago, about four or five of us got together because I suggested that these guys, including Jay and Jake and Kaylin, read a book called The Fourth Turning Is Here. And for those of you who are familiar with the whole of the whole idea of the theory of generational history, this is something that's been going on for it's been written about for centuries, really, even going back to the Greeks. And people like Arthur Schlesinger were heavily into the theory of generational history. And but more currently, Neil Howe, he used to have a partner, Strauss and Howe, wrote a book back in the early 90s called The Fourth Turning. And Neil Howe is still with us. He's a demographer. He's a boomer. He's about my age. I think he might be a little older. And the general theory behind this, it goes back to the Greeks. The Greeks identified what were called generational seculums, which were 80 to 90 year periods of history that seem to happen recurring on a regular basis. And each seculum consists of four distinct seasons, or turnings, as they are referred to by Strauss and Howe. The high, you can think of as spring. This follows the crisis, which we're in right now, the fourth turning, that ended the previous cycle. This period is typified by strong institutions and social collectivism and weak individualism. The next 20-year or so portion of the seculum is the awakening. So you think of the high. The last high was post-World War II, all right? The next was the awakening, which you can think of the 1960s, when I came of age, okay? And this is the awakening period. This is a period typified by increasing personal and spiritual autonomy of the people. During this period, social institutions may be attacked, impeding public progress. The next part of the seculum is the unraveling, which you can think of the 80s and 90s. Okay, this is a period typified by weak institutions that are distrusted. During this period, individualism is strong and flourishing. And then the last part, the fourth turning, is the crisis, which we are currently in. This is an era of destruction, and I think that we're seeing that every day lately, right, guys?
Yeah, certainly.
And this is an era of, you know, it's either destruction through war, where institutional life is destroyed. However, as this period ends, institutions will be rebuilt, hopefully, and society will rediscover the benefits of being part of a collective and community purpose. Now, during this time, there are four what are called generational archetypes who also occur recurring in each seculum. The first is the prophet generation, which are the boomers, which is a scary thought. They are born near the end of a crisis. So I was born in 1954, so I'm a midwave boomer. And during this is a time of community cohesion and strong social order. The next generational archetype is the nomad generation, and these are folks that were born during an awakening. So these are the Gen Xers. These folks, and Jake is one of our resident Gen Xers in our group. He's a late wave Gen Xer. Okay, and again, he's on the phone. But this is the nomad generation. Kind of, they used to be referred to as the latchkey kids, the latchkey generation. The next generational archetype is the hero generation, which is currently the millennials. And Jake's right on the cusp. So he's a late wave Gen Xer, early wave millennial. Jay and Kaylin here in the studio with me are both late wave millennials. They're in their late 20s. Mm-hmm. But they are part of the hero generation. My son, who's 43, is right kind of, he was an early wave millennial. And this is, think of the hero generation from World War II. This is our hero generation today. And then the poor Gen Zers, the artist generation. And these are born after the unraveling. So these poor kids that, you know, had to go through COVID, and now all of these shootings on college campuses and stuff like that, this is what's impacting their perception of things. I'm going to be quiet here in a second and start asking questions of these guys. But these are defined, each generational archetype is defined by a shared experience. Okay, so each of these generational have had these shared experiences. So I am going to turn to my notes now. So again, call in with questions or comments, 805-238-5775, 238-KPRL. So when we met last week, gentlemen, if I can get this back up on my screen here, we identified several big topic areas that we wanted to discuss. And I think, and we want to talk about how your perceptions of these various different things play out. So we talked about, we're going to talk about Trump's immigration policy, the closed border, ICE activity, and deportations. We're going to talk about Charlie Kirk's assassination, the rise of AI and digital currency, which is going to be our first topic, and then recent events in the news this past weekend. So, okay, let's talk about AI for starters. I did some research on this, and I was interested to see how AI will impact various different of the thing. So how, Jake, let's start with you. How is AI impacting your business life? And you can tell us what you do again, if you want. And how is, and again, you're kind of on the cusp, but you're a Gen Xer who's kind of also got some millennial going on. So how has this impacted your business in your life?
Yeah, thanks, Barry. So I'm business development. So I'm working with, you know, hundreds of businesses up and down the coast. And I would say there's a shared ignorance to its capabilities overall. But I do believe that there's minor adoption. I mean, ChatGPT and just having that on your phone and being able to ask questions, being able to write emails. We have Copilot on our Microsoft that gives us some some baseline features. The way I've seen it, where it's being leveraged the most, is in data, being able to analyze data and picking that apart a little bit from the business side. And I've had conversations with family and friends and other people that run businesses, and it just seems adoption is inevitable. And for me, I use it to understand deeper understanding of, you know, what we're talking about. I use it to, you know, get referential information. I leverage Perplexity to find sources to information that's online, because I feel like that's a big gap in online information, is finding the direct sources to things. So, yeah, I'd just say there's minor adoption across the board from what I've seen, and I think there's a complete ignorance to the capability of what AI can do. And it's going to be a bit of a shockwave, I think, as it evolves quickly.
Yeah. So, and actually, I want to thank you. You finally got me using an AI tool, and I find that it really helps me with the show. I mean, because it quickly helps me kind of form some, you know, questions and thought patterns. And I don't talk to my computer. I type the question in still, because I find talking to my computer weird. But yeah, I mean, based on what I'm seeing here, Gen Xers are right in the middle of this. And since you guys, since Gen Xers are the ones that are kind of getting a lot of stuff done right now, you're really going to have to be at the leading edge of implementing this in real time, right?
Yeah, well, businesses for sure need to find ways to handle how the market is addressing it. And yeah, there's a lot of people in this generation. I'm towards the very the end of it, but yeah, the adoption rate just has to be accelerated. And ultimately, I think they're prepared. I think there's a lot of tools out there. There's a lot of knowledge base around it, but I think the exponential growth of it is gonna make it even more challenging in the long run.
Okay, so now Jay and Kaylin, how about you guys? You guys again are late wave millennials, and based on my AI research, this is really going to really impact you guys tremendously from work, money, mental health. I mean, Kaylin, what are your thoughts on it? You're in the tech side of the business, so
yeah. I think it's a tool, mm-hmm. and it should be used as a tool. In the work environment, from my side in tech, I see a lot of people from my clients that are using AI to answer questions. And I think that there's like some caution that should be had there, to where you're not relying too much on AI to supplement your job or supplement your workflow, because it's not always going to produce exactly what you think it's going to produce. Even if it looks good and it puts it in nice grammatical terms, it might not be actually accurate. Another thing to keep in mind as well is the data that you put into AI, it's a learning model, so it's going to take that data and put it into a database. So if, you know, being in tech, I can't ask it specific questions about tech or about the networks that I manage, because it would be unsafe and it would be improper to divulge specific network information into a learning chat model, because it's going to take that data and it's going to hold on to it. It's still the internet, like Google searching, so it's not like it goes away.
Right.
So what you put into it, it's going to keep, and it's going to learn from that. So keep that in mind as you use it. But I do think AI is a tool. It's interesting, because when we got cell phones, all of a sudden we had access to technology and information we never did before. It was in the palm of our hands, and AI is just accelerating that. And I think that's good for people. Having access to information is important, and it's just at its infancy. So it's gonna get a lot better in the next couple of years.
But there'll be some bumps in the road along the way, and I want to talk to you about some of those that we were talking about last week. Jay, you know, you're kind of in a more of a hands-on business, so to speak. Yeah. You're with Central Coast Moving. How are you guys implementing and using AI in the business?
We're using AI really to kind of automate some of our client reach out. So you'll see real estate agents, or really any home service business, should be using AI to follow up with their referral networks, any affiliates that they have. So it really strengthens your ability to just be more involved in the community, and doing simple things mm-hmm. is how we use it in a business. I think AI is one of those technologies that perfectly reflects kind of where we're at in the cycle. So we're in a crisis era. People don't just adopt new tools. They worry about who controls them and what happens if they fail. So for my generation, AI isn't necessarily like super exciting or terrifying to us. It's more practical. It's just like a natural.
I'm Liz Claman, and this is the Fox Business Report.
Stocks finishing mixed, dragged down by declines in healthcare and energy stocks as investors parse the latest batch of economic data and continue to worry about lofty AI valuations. 64,000 jobs were created in November above economists' expectations after falling by 105,000 in October as federal government payrolls declined. The unemployment rate rose to 4.6%. The Magnificent Seven tech stocks were mixed. However, shares of Tesla rose over 3% and notched a record close. And shares of Broadcom rose 0.5% following the chipmaker's nearly 18% tumble over the last three trading sessions. The Dow winners, NVIDIA, Microsoft, and Boeing. The Dow decliners, United Health, Goldman Sachs, and IBM. The Dow falling 302 points, the NASDAQ higher by 54, S&P 500 down 16. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
2025 is wrapping up, and here's the truth. Uncertainty isn't going anywhere. Noble Gold Investments help you protect what you've built with real gold and silver, stuff that holds value when everything else is melting down. This holiday season, the best gift you can give your family? Peace of mind. Don't wait for the next crash to blindside you. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com and get started today. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com. Don't leave the future to chance. Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals involves risk. Consult your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
Well, I think we're back on air. Folks, I'm really sorry. We're having some sort of technical issues here, and the clock is, we just went into commercials, but we're back on here. Real quickly, you know, one of the things that you were talking about last week, Kalen, was, what did you call it, hyper-targeting, AI hyper-targeting.
Oh, yeah.
And that was a scary thing.
It was.
And I think this is an important for folks to you know, hear about, because it's probably happening to you and you don't even know it.
Yeah, it happened to me, actually. So I was on social media, a few different platforms on social media, and if you ever notice when you're talking out loud to your friends or family and all of a sudden an advertisement will pop up on your phone for something you mentioned the day before or even sometimes that same day. That was kind of happening to me with some other things I was discussing with some close family members and friends. And I started to catch on after about a week or so. I noticed the ad was hyper-targeting the things that I had spoken about. And it wasn't just one or two things. It was a series of things I had mentioned, all put into an advertisement. And this particular advertisement was designed to sort of address insecurities I had. And I thought that that was kind of weird, and I didn't really pay too much attention to it until it happened for about 2 weeks, and then this one advertisement came out, and it had every single thing I had mentioned within the course of the last 2 weeks, and it said, hey, you know, buy this product, and it was using AI, and I'm very confident that these platforms are essentially taking the things that we say and putting them into a transcription, selling those transcriptions to companies, and those companies are putting them to AI software that then produces an advertisement that's targeted to you. Mm-hmm. And within 24 hours or less, these ads can be created and you could be seeing them on your feed. And that's what it really felt like. It felt malicious and it felt wrong. And so I got off social media for those reasons. It just didn't feel right.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about the Gen Zers, you guys, for a minute, because I think this is important. We one of these days, we have to get a Gen Zer into the MGGS. I guess they have to be over 18, though, right? So they can drink with us, right? But the question I have is, how are you seeing younger folks that you're working with using AI? Are they adapting to it? Do they have, you know, I can see that they must be using it at this point, right?
Not so much for my company, mm-hmm. mainly because we're, you know, moving furniture, but I'm sure without a doubt that there are the younger generation using AI. I would be most concerned about like that generation's in school right now.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So, like, that's a common joke that you'll see floating around online, is you better start eating healthy because your doctor is in school using AI and ChatGPT to take its tests.
Huh. Yeah. Great. Okay. And I will say, one of the things that for us older boomers, AI could be a tremendous help as far as healthcare,
mm-hmm.
caring, you know, stuff that as we need care at home.
Yep.
And so I think ultimately, I was much more concerned about AI a year or so ago, and now as I've seen it unfold, it's not quite as scary to me.
Yeah, I think for like generationally, boomers tend to see AI as either like progressive or a threat, you know, one way or the other. And then Gen X is a little bit younger, so they're more skeptical and ask who's behind it. And then millennials see it as a tool, but only if there's guardrails. And then Gen Z is, you know, they're growing up with it.
Yeah.
So it's going to be like us growing up with cell phones. They don't know anything different. Like I've said this to you before, Barry, I've never gone to a library, pulled a bunch of books to write an essay and actually cited books. That's not something that my generation's ever done. And so it's the same for this new generation. They're not going to understand what it's like to live a life without this much technology.
So you don't know the Dewey Decimal System, huh?
like we
had to learn. You don't even know what it is. Okay. All of my boomer buddies out there know what the Dewey Decimal System is. You know, there was an article here that I shared with you guys from Victor Davis Hanson, who's every of our listeners really like, and he was talking about the lost generation and can it be found? I mean, we've seen what happened to the Gen Zers who had to go through COVID. Okay, some did pretty well, like our buddies who made those movies that we've met, you know, you've met before.
Yep.
Others really struggled.
Right.
How about the later people, Gen Zers? Do you think this is going to smooth out for the Gen Zs and they're going to get good jobs at some point and get the right kind of education? Where do you, you know?
I mean, I think the job market is really rough.
It'll impact the jobs they do.
Okay. Thanks, Jake. No, go ahead.
No, I would just say it's probably going to impact the types of jobs they do because there's going to be a morphing of roles. Like, for example, I was reading that first-year attorneys are the lack of firms wanting to hire first-year attorneys is changing because AI can do what a first-year attorney could do way more efficiently and for, you know, one-tenth of the cost. So I feel like that is going to have an impact. But I also think, you know, roles are going to have AI in them. And so it's going to be up to that generation to be 100% adoptive of it.
All right. Listen, I hear the bumper music coming up. It looks like we're back on the clock here. So I'm going to put you on hold real quickly, Jake. And then, folks, we will be back, and hopefully we can get the show back on track without any more problems. So stand by.
Ace Auto Care in Atascadero, the best price and service on brakes, tires, smog checks, oil changes, and more. Ace Auto Care, all your vehicle needs, everything you want.
Fox News, I'm Tom Graham. President Trump is planning an address from the White House tomorrow night. Press Secretary Caroline Levin.
President Trump will be talking about what's to come. The best is truly yet to come, as he often says. And so he'll be addressing the country about all of his historic accomplishments over the past year and maybe teasing some policy that will be coming in the new year.
The president has been working to sell his economic record. Newly released Labor Department numbers show the jobless rate rose to its highest level since 2021. The attorney for Nick Reiner says his client will not appear in court today due to a medical reason. Fox's Jonathan Hunt.
Nick Reiner now being represented by attorney Alan Jackson. He is the attorney who has previously represented, among others, Kevin Spacey and Harvey Weinstein.
Reiner is accused of murdering his celebrity parents, Rob and Michelle Reiner. America's listening to Fox News.
Blake's True Value Hardware Center in Paso would like to sincerely thank the North County for their loyalty and continued patronage. A very Merry Christmas and a healthy, happy New Year from Blake's True Value Hardware Center. The Paso Robles Downtown Main Street Association would like to say thank you to all those who volunteered and participated in their events this year. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year from the Paso Robles Downtown Main Street Association.
Welcome back to Protecting What Matters. We're visiting with my buds from the Multi-Generational Grape and Grain Society, Kaylin Clark, Jay Leach, and Jay Frederick. You can call in with questions or comments, 805-238-5775, 238-KPRL. And I think we've identified the technical issues that we were having here. So hopefully we are good to go. Let's talk, you know, when we met last week, I asked each of you to tell me what you thought the big stories were, AI being one of them. So we've talked about that. Let's talk about the ICE deportations. And I think, Jay,
I'm Liz Claman, and this is the Fox Business Report.
Stocks finishing mixed, dragged down by declines in healthcare and energy stocks as investors parse the latest batch of economic data and continue to worry about lofty AI valuations. 64,000 jobs were created in November above economists' expectations after falling by 105,000 in October as federal government payrolls declined. The unemployment rate rose to 4.6%. The Magnificent Seven tech stocks were mixed. However, shares of Tesla rose over 3% and notched a record close. And shares of Broadcom rose 0.5% following the chipmaker's nearly 18% tumble over the last three trading sessions. The Dow winners, NVIDIA, Microsoft, and Boeing. The Dow decliners, United Health, Goldman Sachs, and IBM. The Dow falling 302 points, the Nasdaq higher by 54, S&P 500 down 16. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
2025 is wrapping up, and here's the truth. Uncertainty isn't going anywhere. Noble Gold Investments help you protect what you've built with real gold and silver, stuff that holds value when everything else is melting down. This holiday season, the best gift you can give your family? Peace of mind. Don't wait for the next crash to blindside you. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com and get started today. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com. Don't leave the future to chance. Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals involves risk. Consult your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
I think we're back now. Okay. So much for my wishful thinking. I just told the guys here in studio that if I had known this was going to happen, I wouldn't have done so much show prep. So, but anyway, you know, Jay, you know, since you brought this topic up, the ICE deportations, so on and so forth, how what's your perception of that from the millennial point of view? And how's that impacting your business at all?
Yeah, I guess not at all. I mean, we're really fortunate and living in the beautiful Central Coast, so we're pretty pretty protected from, I feel like, the rest of the world and what goes on in that sense. But I think the topic of why I brought up the ICE deportation is just that's, to me, that's been the biggest story of the year. It's been something that's been talked about since Trump took office, and it's just been a consistent story throughout the year. No real effect, I would say, on my personal life. I know my wife. My wife works at the courthouse, so she has a little bit more like hands-on experience with that of ICE agents coming in and just being kind of disregarding the local
authorities.
Yeah, local authorities, and to many different degrees. I understand they have a job to do, and everyone does, but I just think that's to me that's the biggest story of the U.S. right now.
Yeah. What about you, Jake, from your perch working with a lot of different employer groups and that kind of thing? Has this had much impact on your experience?
You know, I'll say that a big part of the culture of the Central Coast is a Hispanic community. And I don't have a lot of personal experience. I've had conversations with Hispanic business owners. Not to the degree where I was getting a ton of feedback on it, but they did feel like, you know, events didn't happen, or you know, jobs struggle a little bit because of the workforce. And I work with a lot of, you know, construction, a lot of service-based businesses. And overall, I think the sentiment is that there's a little bit of concern for how it's being dealt with, and then they're really just trying to be informed and. You know, I don't have a lot of answers for all that. Again, like Jay said, I live in a wonderful, beautiful community, and we're not in LA, so we're not seeing a lot of that. But I just imagine overall, it's just businesses that have a lot of blue collar workers. I'm sure they're trying to make sure that they're dotting their I's, crossing their T's, or that they're, you know, doing what they can to support those employees because that's the backbone of their business.
Well, do you think that people, and I'm going to go to Kaylin on this, do you think folks in your generation feel it's important to, at the very least, get a handle on the people who are here as, you know, the illegal aliens. And I know nobody, you know, some people don't like that term, but the undocumented workers, whatever you want to call them, who have criminal records. Do you think that there's a certain consensus that we need to identify those people, get them, and get them out of the country? Or do you think that bothers people?
I think probably largely that bothers people. I think what happens a lot with the younger generations is that they feel very strongly about something, but they don't have all the information.
Mm-hmm.
They don't really even understand why they feel so strongly about it. And I think largely it has to do with how the media treats it. And when they consume it, usually whatever media you're watching, it's very, pointed towards one direction. And it's easy to have that skew your perception on what's actually going on. And they don't have all the right information. So it's a very difficult question for any country, immigration, but I feel like the younger generation just doesn't really have no idea like what the impact could be if it's not handled correctly.
Yeah. What about you, Jay? I mean, do you feel that it's important to get people out of the country that have criminal records, or do we just arrest them and incarcerate them and deal with that? I mean, I think that's the scary part for most of us out there, at least from my generational perspective. I mean, I think you don't have, in my generational perspective, if you don't have borders, you don't have a country, you know? And so, and the last administration just allowed these borders to be totally open. And so how do we solve the problem?
Yeah, I don't have answers that to solve the problem, but as far as like my perspective, I think that there is consensus between your generation, our generation, that we do want to be in a safe place, right? That's mm-hmm. the same thing Jake and I both just said. We live in a great community. So there's no pushback for mm-hmm. most people my age. We're not opposed to enforcing laws around violent crimes. Where it gets uncomfortable is when enforcement feels broad, politicized, and disconnected from due process.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's more what it's about.
Yeah.
So there's a difference between saying people with serious criminal records shouldn't be here and entire groups of people are the problem. Mm-hmm. So millennials are more sensitive to you attacking a group of people, I feel like.
Yeah. Yeah. So, okay. Let's move on to another topic here that we identified. And I think we can spend some time on this one because it kind of leads into some other topics that we talked about. I'm going to start with Kalen here. So the Charlie Kirk assassination, I think, mm-hmm. was just a huge story. It's continued. It's ongoing.
That is.
Ongoing, at least, though I was happy to see that apparently Erica Kirk and Candace Owens had some conversations and they're trying to smooth out things. And I think that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
But how, Kalen, how did you view the Charlie Kirk assassination? I mean, again, were you a follower of his? Did you pay much attention to what he was doing as a cultural icon, I guess?
I wouldn't say that I was keeping up with everything he was doing, but, you know, the only thing you know about anybody online is obviously what you see and what you hear. And so the things that I did see about Charlie Kirk was that regardless of the disagreements with someone else, at the end of the day, he wanted honest conversation and civil debate. I think it's important. It's something that we've lost in society now. It's like you can't have a conversation with someone that feels differently from you because it just goes from 0 to 100 in a matter of seconds.
Right.
And then it's a screaming match. So I think it was really sad. I think it was a loss, definitely, to that idea of being able to talk to someone else who's very, very different than you and coming to common ground in some way. As far as, you know, there's so many theories going around. It's like what happened and who ordered it and who actually pulled the trigger and all this stuff. So I can't answer to any of that, but I do think it's a loss. And I think it's going to make it harder for both sides to connect because he was one of the only people that were trying to do it in that way.
Yeah. I mean, I think one of the things that strikes me is that, and I think you just alluded to it, is that, it seems that the younger generations view just having a different opinion is a hateful thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, and I think whatever you could think about Charlie Kirk, at least he was out there amongst folks, you know, talking about these different issues. And you may not have liked what he had to say,
mm-hmm.
but at least he was trying to say it respectfully.
Well, everybody takes everything so personally.
Right.
You know, so if you're of a different opinion, then I feel slighted by that. And then now I don't like you and I don't want to talk to you. And I don't mm-hmm. want to associate with you. And so, yeah, he was just trying to iron that out, really.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. What about you, Jake? What are your thoughts on this one?
you know, he was such an interesting influence in a generation that I feel that was seeking identity. And he was giving clear voice to very frustrated individuals, especially those that maybe were on campus life and felt like there was only one side of the argument made. I think he really understood that as an individual and as an influence, and he wanted to really take it to that point in contact where, you know, young minds start to be decisive and form opinions and be educated. Like, it's a perfect forum. I think it was a perfect forum for him. And I think, you know, Turning Point itself has a wonderful organization that I think will continue to flourish. But obviously it just won't be the same if with him not, you know, being this megaphone for this, you know, this idea of allowing two sides of the argument to be clear and concise, and also some opinion, too. He was very opinionated on certain things, but he was also cautious, and being a faithful person, I feel like he spoke a lot to, you know, where his root of his thought comes from, and I feel like that can be lacking in conversation. He was very open about his faith, and, you know, that I think that emboldened a lot of young people who, you know, wanted to have their spirituality or wanted to have their faith in their education, and he gave them a medium to do it. So it is definitely a loss, like Kaelin said, and I hope the organization itself is able to, you know, continue to flourish and work in these areas where I feel like it's most needed.
Well, so along those lines, I mean, as we go through the fourth turning, and again, Neil Howe would say we've probably got about another 7 or 8 years to go in this whole thing until we get into the next turning, which is, again, a high, you know, a springtime. Most springtimes in America, anyway, have a revival, an awakening, almost like a religious awakening of some sort. But, you know, mostly, you know, in the past it's been Christian. But again, you know, people going to church, and you know, church attendance in the United States is way down, and really we're around the world. Do you see Turning Point USA? And if you guys could all answer this, I'll let Jake go first since he's on the phone. But do you see Turning Point USA being an integral part of that awakening into the next turning, or do you think it's going to be something else?
Wow, big question. I think the waters are pretty muddied right now. The dominant conversations are more around conspiracy and, you know, who killed them, how it happened. And that muck, I think, would be slowing that type of progress down. But there are other influencers. There's other groups. I think the issue of churches not being full, and, you know, communities not being thriving and faith based. I think it's because they don't really have a pulse on, you know, the next generation. Mm-hmm. You know, they're stuck in process and ritual, and they're not focused on, you know, the people that they're serving. Which, again, I think, you know, Charlie Kirk really understood that. He understood his target. He was very laser focused on what he believed the message was and who he needed to get it to. And churches don't do that. So that's a tough one. I don't think I have a clear picture to that or could give a clear answer. But I do believe that there's a balancing to it with, you know, with Turning Point if it continues to grow, and I think it will. And that would bring people back to, you know, faith on campus. And, you know, spark a generation. I don't think it'll happen in 8 years, but mm-hmm. I could see it happening in the next 30.
Yeah. How? I mean, again, your kids are pretty young right now. I mean, your oldest is how old?
She'll be 10 next year, so 9.
Did she get a sense of any of this stuff happening? I mean, because she's a pretty aware kid.
No.
No.
She's super smart, but, you know, what we've done with our kids and how we've raised them, you know, they've been going to church most of their life. Mm-hmm. And yes, they've seen the gap between the generations that are going, and I'm sure they've overheard things, but, you know, we've tried to give them a balance, and we've tried to give them a sense of, who they are based on, you know, identifying with their faith. And then over time, it'll be their decision to take it or not.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful that, that the work of Turning Point, that the faith being brought to a younger generation in time is going to lead to a more, you know, relevant process for young people to find their faith. But there are a lot of thriving churches. It's just, it's not ubiquitous. It's not assumed. It's not built into the culture. So it's just different.
So one of the things that Charlie Kirk's assassination seems to have raised is this whole, brought more awareness to, it was under the undercurrent, was this whole Groiper movement, which is basically a bunch of basically young Gen Zers who are unhappy with Israel, and I think part of the whole this last war in the Middle East was really what's the word I'm looking for? Very impactful, wouldn't you say, Jay?
Yeah.
And so, let me ask you this: do you think it's anti-Semitism, or you just think it's anti-Israel? The Groiper movement.
I think those are hard to separate, especially with like people's maybe lack of understanding of history. Mm-hmm. But if I had to pick one, I think it's more anti-Israel. I don't think it's an attack on necessarily the Israelis' religion, but just how their government practices.
I'm beginning to think that, but again, it's an easy target. What do you think, Kalen?
I think I would agree. I think it's more just with youth nowadays, everything is so political that it's always the governments that everyone's targeting and thinking of. So yeah, I really don't think it's the people of Israel that are getting that. I think it's, but they end up getting it, right? Because of the kids are, they can become violent, the protests become violent. But I think it's, again, it goes back to them not having all the information, but being overly emotional and not being like rational about what's actually going on. And then they just target, you know, they think the government's doing everything, but like we have talked about before, that trickles down to innocent people getting hurt.
It's almost like the ICE situation where it's not, when you make it specific, your frustration, it's easy to understand. Like if you're saying you don't want criminals in your country, that's a fair argument. When you're saying it's these people and you make it broad, that's when it becomes an issue. So the same thing with the Groiperism. When you make it broad and you say these people, that can be offensive.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're specific, then it makes it be more clear.
Makes sense. Again, I mean, that's one of the things that Charlie Kirk brought to the argument was he was very specific and very precise in his language. And so this leads us, and we got another minute or so left, so we might continue this conversation. And, you know, Jake, have you been at all tracking on this massacre in Australia? And from, you know, I know it was funny. I mean, see, Kalen knew about it.
Yep.
But because of the way, and I'm not being critical.
No.
But one of the ways, Jay consumes news a lot differently than the rest of us.
Yeah, I don't.
You don't consume it because you don't want, and I get it. I mean, because it's kind of depressing, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, I'll follow stocks because, you know, that's relevant to, you know, my interest. But as far as being concerned about the world's problems, I think that right now, many people would be better. Time would be better spent focusing on their own problems.
Okay, so Jake, and I think we're back on track here. But real quickly, I mean, what's your perception from the Gen Xer perspective of what happened in Australia this weekend with the mass murder down there?
Yeah, I mean, it's an absolute tragedy, and you know this type of I believe I would want to define it as extremism or religion. You know, holy wars and all these things. Jay's generation, Kalen's generation, they look at religion and they say, oh, well, everybody's just killing each other for religion, so why do I need religion? Well, this is just an argument for that. You know, there's no room for extremism in a person's personal faith because there isn't really this violent religion that's out there that's, you know, dictating it's people's interpretation. And it's personalized, and then it's kind of extreme. Becomes extreme because it's so personal.
All right, I'm going to put you on hold, Jake. I hear the bumper music. We'll be back with our final segment in a few minutes. So stand by, folks.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Liz Klayman, and this is the Fox Business Report.
Stocks finishing mixed, dragged down by declines in healthcare and energy stocks as investors parse the latest batch of economic data and continue to worry about lofty AI valuations. 64,000 jobs were created in November above economists' expectations after falling by 105,000 in October as federal government payrolls declined. The unemployment rate rose to 4.6%. The Magnificent Seven tech stocks were mixed. However, shares of Tesla rose over 3% and notched a record close. And shares of Broadcom rose 0.5% following the chipmaker's nearly 18% tumble over the last three trading sessions. The Dow winners, NVIDIA, Microsoft, and Boeing. The Dow decliners, United Health, Goldman Sachs, and IBM. The Dow falling 302 points, the Nasdaq higher by 54, S&P 500 down 16. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
2025 is wrapping up, and here's the truth. Uncertainty isn't going anywhere. Noble Gold Investments help you protect what you've built with real gold and silver, stuff that holds value when everything else is melting down. This holiday season, the best gift you can give your family? Peace of mind. Don't wait for the next crash to blindside you. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com and get started today. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com. Don't leave the future to chance. Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals involves risk. Consult your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
Hi, Lindsay from K-John's Jewelry Company. For as long as we've been here, there's been one principle guiding us: treat people with honesty and respect. That's why we never discount. We've always believed that pricing jewelry fairly every single day is the right thing to do. No inflated margins, no pretending something is a deal, just integrity. But now we're entering one of the biggest moments in our history, and we want to share it with you. After decades of showcasing designers we admire, it's time for K-John's to create something deeply personal, our own jewelry designs, crafted with the love and experience this community has given us. To make room for this new chapter, we're liquidating our entire current inventory. December 2nd through Christmas Eve, experience more than just a sale. It's a thank you from our family to yours. A thank you for every visit, every story shared, every moment you've trusted us to be a part of. And this is your chance to take home something truly special at prices we'll never offer again. We're so grateful for the decades of support you've given us, and we can't wait to show you what comes next. K-John's Jewelry Company, where every piece begins with gratitude.
Merry Christmas to all.
Merry Christmas from G. Weeman Instruction.
We hope you have a Christmas miracle
for a fresh new year.
Welcome back to Protecting What Matters. We're visiting with Kaylin Clark, Jay Leach, and Jake Frederick, part of my multi-generational grape and grain society. You can call or text with questions, 805-238-5775, 238-KPRL. As I mentioned last week, this will be my last show of the year, but I'm going to be back on the 6th with Steve Frank in the first segment of California Political News and Views. I'm sure I'll be asking him some of the same questions that I've asked these guys, because he's actually in the generational cohort older than me, so he'll have even different perspectives on all this. And then for the hour, I'm going to have Stacy Korsgaden, who is a, you know her. She's down in South County. She's run for several political offices. She is now a candidate for insurance commissioner, and she's a financial advisor, insurance agent, and I want to talk to her and see what her thoughts are going to be. So real quickly, to put a final kind of generational spin on this before I ask this last question of my guys here, I did a Grok search. So obviously X has its own AI engine, and I asked it, you know, what are the next cultural trends? And the first one that came up, and I'm just going to read it to you off the computer screen here: the rise of niche microcultures and local identity revival. Again, remember, we're going into a springtime of new of of our cycle, and it basically says that the globalization's flattening effect is reversing, with niche becoming mainstream. Local traditions, language, and micro communities, okay, are gaining traction over homogenized pop culture. And so really, this is really what Jay is talking about in many regards, is that it's people are going to start turning in to themselves a little bit more and being more focused on community. Okay, so predictions for 2026. Let's start with Jay. What are your predictions? What is going to be the, what will we be talking about 6 months from now in next, when I bring you back on?
I think that we'll be talking about some of the new IPOs that are coming up in the tech space. I know SpaceX is coming out. ChatGPT is going to IPO. So I'm interested to see where AI is at in 6 months. Okay. AI, crypto, all of that. And then just where the economy is at. I know consumer sentiment isn't super high. So I'm very interested to see where the economy is next year.
All right. Jake, what do you think?
Oh, I think we're going to be talking a lot more about AI as it exponentially evolves. I think the tools and resources around it, the aspect of physical AI, where there's more physical presence in AI, and the tools that we use are going to be huge. And I'm interested to see what happens with the economy in the next 6 months. I'm in the same boat as Jay.
Okay. And Kaylin, what do you think?
I think cryptocurrency is going to have some big, big improvements next year. There's a lot of countries that are adopting certain cryptocurrencies for an exchange and means of exchange, and I think that that's going to really jump the price on several of the coins. And then the Federal Reserve is still backing certain cryptocurrencies, and I think that's going to make a big difference for next year as well. So I'm keeping an eye on cryptocurrency.
All right. Well, now I'm going to ask you guys to comment on what I think the next big stories are going to be as we go into next year. Yeah. First of all, I was going to say that one of my big predictions was more increased violence around the world against various different groups of people. But that's already happened, so I can't make that a prediction for next year. But I think that trend, unfortunately, is going to continue. I think the midterm elections, especially, will come up as a big deal after the State of the Union, because the problem here is that, you know, if the Republicans do not maintain control of the House, we're just going to have an ongoing impeachment parade, and nothing will be happening on the federal level. It'll just be so disruptive for 2 years, and I think that would be a big problem. But I think one of the big issues, I think the two, and these are intertwined. I think that Venezuela is going to be big in the news. You know, I think you know, the United States as a country is turning its view inward. There's a new document, the National Security Strategy, which is basically a rework of the Monroe Doctrine, and that you know, the Trump administration has been very clear to the Europeans. We'll be happy to sell you all the weapons you want, but you're going to pay for them, and because we have to take care of our own backyard. So even the United States is turning inward. And I think, you know, this, I think you should read up on this national security strategy. And I think part and parcel of what we're seeing in Europe, and I'm going to, is again, this whole, and Will, our buddy Will, would talk about the rise of populism, particularly in Europe, and what that's doing to the governments there. And I think these countries in Europe are not doing a very good job of managing that.
Right.
You know, so I don't know. Any thoughts on any of that? Jake, real quick, we got about less than a minute. So any thoughts?
Yeah, Venezuela for sure. I totally agree with that, because that's all ongoing.
Okay.
And yeah, that's my take. Definitely Venezuela.
What do you guys think? Real quick, we got 10 seconds.
Yeah, I think Europe's going to be a big conversation. I think we should also pay attention to the rainforest, because it's getting burned down.
Yep, and Jay?
I'm going to keep worrying about my own backyard.
Okay, well, there you go. The Multi-Generational Grape and Grain Society. Jake, thanks for calling in. Folks, happy Hanukkah, Merry Christmas, and Happy New Year. I will see you, or at least talk to you, in 2026. Have a great, great holiday season.
Join us next Tuesday for Protect What Matters the Most with Barry Fisher. Send your questions and show topic ideas to barry@blazinbear.com. AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.